Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the latest Locked On Wolves podcast, coming at you from the Cumulus Studios in Dinkytown, Minneapolis. Sitting in with my producer, William Roth, also my roommate, here to help out today, running the board, running the show. We're going to talk to William Liu, NBA editor at The Score, also produces some audio content at Raptors Republic. You can find him on Twitter, at William, W-I-L-L-I-A-M, underscore Lou, L-O-U. We're going to talk about the Wolves' loss to the Toronto Raptors. A very Wolvesian performance, if you want to put a label on it. The Raptors defeat the Wolves 124-110 behind a fourth quarter performance that rendered the Wolves outscored by 15 points. The Raptors outscored the Wolves 36-21 in the fourth quarter. Some debatable calls at the end, some silly calls at the end, some calls that were made on the Wolves that the Wolves should have never been in position, should have never given the officials reason to call the fouls. So we'll get into some of the details. I'll ask him some questions about the Raptor season. Do they realistically have a chance at beating Cleveland and reaching the NBA Finals? Some very candid opinions from William Liu, somebody very connected and well-versed in all things Toronto Raptors. So, without further ado, I'll go ahead and play that interview. We'll talk to you tomorrow. So long. As promised, I bring you William Liu, NBA editor at The Score. What's happening, William?
Not much. Not much. Just enjoying a Raptors victory.
Yeah, well, you know Minneapolis is further north than Toronto, correct?
I've been reminded of this constantly on Twitter.
I hate to be the troll that does that, but it's just so funny to me. And then just to add to that, somebody from Portland's always like, well, Portland's further north than Minneapolis. Did you know that?
Yeah, I actually, as a Canadian, I had no idea. I just assumed that since we're America's hat, that we're on top of everybody, but
yeah. If you've ever been to Minnesota, you know we have to be different than everybody else in this state.
I was going to say, Minnesota is a pretty cool state, all things considered.
Have you been here before?
I have not, but I very much would like to.
There's no sales tax, if you didn't know that. If something at the Mall of America says $49.95, it's $49.95. It's pretty great.
Oh, that is beautiful. There's like a 13% sales tax here in Ontario. And I'm sure the listeners are not here to talk about tax policy.
But, no, yeah. Well, I mean, the listeners are here, like it or not, so it's happening. But I'm reading over your 10 things I saw from Raptors Timberwolves. We're, of course, about 25, 30 minutes removed from the Raptors' victory over the Timberwolves, 124-110. The Raptors just pounded the Wolves in the fourth quarter, outscoring them 36-21. I'm reading your takeaways. You called this an embarrassing display for the Raptors' defense. Please say more.
Obviously, all due respect to the Timberwolves, who are a pretty good offensive team, and I feel like they don't really get recognized as much for their offensive capabilities. But I just thought, especially the way the Raptors defended in the first half, giving up 59 points by halftime, a lot of it was like correctable things that the Raptors could have done in terms of just effort. They weren't putting a body on guys, giving up a lot of offensive rebounds. They weren't running back in transition. And obviously, if you don't run back in transition against the Timberwolves, there's so many young guys on that team. They're so talented. They're going to be able to get so many easy points that way. And just sort of just the lack of physicality, it seemed strange. The Raptors would be sort of out-hustled at home by the opposing team. So it was strange. And on top of that, the Raptors played a very weird defensive scheme where they had, their very slow center in Jonas Valanciunas, who has a lot of defensive concerns, come out to the three-point line a lot. And that just led to blow by after blow by where the Raptors had nobody at the basket. and nobody to rebound. And the Timberwolves were able to, you know, really, really capitalize on that. Eventually, in the fourth quarter, like you said, they only gave up 21 points to the Timberwolves. So they were able to figure that out eventually. But it was a pretty bad defensive display from the Raptors.
Do you subscribe to the opinion that Jonas Valanciunas is basically just a Lithuanian Enes Kanter?
Yes. Yes. I mean, sometimes Jonas is better than Kanter on defense because Kanter is like so bad. Oh, but yeah. This season, it's been pretty much the same in terms of they're the same player.
And I'm big on the Huskies uniform designs. You seem, you know, okay with them. Not so much indifferent, but I'm very much a fan of them. Although I was watching the game at an establishment here in Minneapolis, and one of my buddies was like, "Who the hell are the Wolves playing?" But I'm a fan.
Yeah, they look great. Pretty much every other significant Toronto sports team is blue and white. That's sort of the unofficial colors for the Raptors, or for the city of Toronto, sorry. And the Raptors have always been this sort of alternative team that, like, oh, we're red and black, or purple sometimes. The Huskies look good. I'm just a little bit concerned as a Raptors fan that they might, you know, eventually change the name to Huskies, like rebrand themselves, but... And I would not be down for that.
You're not.
They look great in terms of uniforms. Yes, I totally agree.
You're not down. You're not down with the rebrand. You're going to keep the name that derives from Jurassic Park.
Yes. Yes. I just think of it this way, right? The Raptors have gone through so much adversity and so many lean years as the Raptors, and it was like, look at this cartoonish dinosaur. That's the team. It's kind of ridiculous, but you know, now that they're good, I don't think they should change up. You know, you got to own up to that history. What did the Great Gatsby teach us, really?
Oh, man. What do you think made the difference in the fourth quarter? I thought the Wolves' defense was obviously porous, but as far as where the Wolves have struggled this season, points given up off of turnovers, they rank in the top five in the league, or the bottom five, depending on how you want to look at it. That wasn't the case tonight. The Wolves outscored the Raptors 22-14 in the case of fast break points. Points off turnovers, I'm sorry. The Raptors did outscore the Wolves in terms of fast break points, 17-10. The Raptors are the best transition team in terms of points per possession scoring, 1.31 points per possession in transition situations. But in the fourth quarter, it just felt like there were a lot of half-court sets and the Raptors just didn't seem to miss. What was your takeaway there in the final frame?
Well, it's just the Raptors have... Well, the way the Raptors set up their rotations is that they'll always have one of Lowry or DeRozan on the court at all times. And I thought the Timberwolves actually made a mistake by sort of putting in their sort of weaker bench unit to start the fourth quarter there, because the Raptors' best unit is Lowry plus their bench guys. It's a really effective unit. And they were just able to get a lot of easy opportunities sort of against the Timberwolves' second unit. And I thought by the time, you know, Tom Thibodeau brought guys like Towns and Wiggins back in sort of midway through the quarter there, I thought the Raptors already pretty much got rolling. And then down the stretch, I thought the Raptors got a couple lucky shots. Like DeMar DeRozan made a corner three, which, you know, doesn't always happen with DeRozan with three-point shooting. And yeah, a couple of possessions there where the Timberwolves just kept fouling. And I thought maybe they were just tired or fatigued or whatever. But I thought the Timberwolves bailed out the Raptors a couple times with fouls. And maybe it was a questionable whistle sometimes, too. DeRozan got – I remember one where he got Ricky Rubio to foul him with, like, 3 minutes left. That really didn't look like Rubio did anything other than just be there when DeRozan drove into him. But, yeah, I thought that was a difference. But I thought, honestly, the Timberwolves' defense didn't look that great all night pretty much after the first quarter.
No, and they've been an abysmal transition defense team. They rank last in the league in terms of points given up per possession in transition situations. I think entering tonight it was like a 57%. Opponents were scoring 57% in 50%. Wow, I can't speak this evening. Opponents have scored on 50% of transition situations this season. So the transition defense is absolutely porous. It's a very astute point about what you said with the starters. The starters go -6 in the final frame. The Raptors outscore them 17-11. They didn't shoot all that terrible, though. They were 43% from the field. They were 1 of 4 from three-point range. They made all four of their free throws. But the bench unit, Cole Aldrich, Nemanja Bjelica, Chris Dunn, Shabazz Muhammad, and Andrew Wiggins, obviously not a complete bench unit. This isn't Sam Mitchell era stuff. They're not platooning lineups anymore. But they were just outscored by one. A huge key in the second half, too, is The bench only scores 5 points for the Wolves compared to 20 in the first half. So it just goes to show you that depth does matter. Transitioning into an obvious storyline that I'm sure you heard in Canada, is there much made of Andrew Wiggins' homecoming anymore, or is it just sort of another game? I know he's sort of Canada's basketball son up there, but has it faded over the years, or is it still just as exciting as it was before?
I think it's just as exciting as it was before. Basketball is continuously on the rise in Canada in terms of popularity, and Wiggins is very much the head of that for Canadian basketball, in terms of he is the most prominent Canadian basketball player ever since Steve Nash retired, basically. And I mean, Wiggins tonight, I mean, I know a lot of people were very excited to see Wiggins, and I thought Wiggins looked really good tonight, especially with some of those turnaround jumpers, man. Like when he hits those turnaround jump shots along the baseline, and I know they're not great shots because they're long twos and stuff, and we kind of have a similar type of player in DeMar DeRozan with the Raptors, who it's kind of confounding what he's doing, but Wiggins is just such a pleasure to watch. There's tons of fans here for Wiggins. We're always going to be pining for our Maple Sun.
Yeah, Maple Jordan, Wolves play-by-play guy Dave Benz loves calling him that. Wiggins, of course, finishes with 25, 10 of 19 shooting. Pretty efficient. You hit the nail on the head with those mid-range jumpers, though. There was especially an ugly one. I want to say there's 5 minutes left in the game, and at this point the bench unit is still on the floor, and Chris Dunn brings it up, and he throws it to Wiggins. By the time Chris Dunn brings it up, there's usually, once he initiates offense, there's like 15, 14 seconds left on the clock, which is not ideal in my opinion. But he gives it to Wiggins on the right wing, and Wiggins he's not able to get any closer to the basket and backing down whoever the defender was. I want to say it was DeRozan, but he takes a long turnaround too. And those are the shots that just make you want to pull your hair out at the end of games. Zach LaVine has been by far my favorite player to watch. I think if I'm going to live and die by a guy, I'm going to go with Zach LaVine. I thought he was pretty good in the fourth quarter once they started letting him shoot. But both of those guys finished negative 16 in terms of plus minus. And just an overall poor performance for the Wolves. But I want to get to know a little bit about the Raptors. They entered tonight as the second-ranked offensive team in terms of points per 100 possessions. They're second in points per possession in half-court situations, first in transition opportunities, like I mentioned before. But can they beat Cleveland? Isn't that the only thing that matters? They go I don't know if they were on the road or at home, but they go up against Cleveland the other night. Cleveland's reeling. They had lost a couple in a row. Toronto had won five straight, six straight, as you know, and as you quoted in your game notes, momentum doesn't matter. It's as if it doesn't exist. Are the NBA Finals a realistic destination for the Raptors this year?
Honestly, it's still the story is still the same, really, as last year. In terms of the Raptors, I think they have improved as a team. Like you said, all those metrics with the offense, with the Raptors this year, the Raptors' offense is more sort of productive outside of just free throws. A lot of the times in previous seasons, the Raptors were offense was mostly predicated on getting to free throw line and stuff like that. This year, the Raptors are getting great shots, quality shots, and they're routinely putting up these like massive scoring efforts, like tonight, 124. But yeah, against Cleveland, there's something that's just, it's not enough. I mean, obviously Cleveland has LeBron, but the Raptors sort of lack two things that, if they really do want to compete with Cleveland, they need to get one of these two things. One is they need a third scorer who can consistently make plays, preferably a front court guy who can make plays out of the pick and roll. Because right now, defenses, when they really lock down and scout the Raptors, what they do is you just send two guys, Lowry and DeRozan, who are obviously the two main guys there. They trap these two smallish guards, and it's difficult for the Raptors offense to keep going because there's not a big out there that can consistently make plays, sort of in that Draymond Green situation where he's able to break down a defense on a 4-on-3 scenario. That doesn't exist. And second, the Raptors just can't. They're not a very good defensive team. Like tonight, even the Timberwolves had an offensive rating of 120.7. So, the Raptors do need somebody who can guard the basket more reliably than either one of Jonas Valanciunas or Lucas Nogueira, because otherwise, the Raptors basically just need every defender to collapse on the defense and continuously scramble and rotate, and that's just not going to be an effective formula against LeBron James in the playoffs and in any matchup. And the Raptors have lost three straight to the Cavaliers this season. All three games were close-ish, but you know, the Cavaliers pretty much led wire to wire in all three of those games. And so until the Raptors can get one of these two things, or preferably both, it's still looking like Cleveland is ahead, head and shoulders of everyone else.
Is it disappointing that Damari Carroll can't be that third scorer?
Kind of. But, I mean, like, I don't really see where this, like, extra scoring in Damari Carroll's game would come from. You know, like, he's pretty much, like you saw today, he hit three shots, all three from deep. Pretty much it's just because the defense collapses. He finds an open spot and he shoots a three, and he's good at three-point shooting. But, like, in terms of his finishing around the basket, driving and handling the ball, those aren't things that you want out of Damari Carroll because he's not very good at it. So, I mean, it's the guy the Raptors like to use as their third scorer is Valanciunas, but he has a lot of defensive concerns, as we saw tonight, where he does give a lot of those points back on defense. And you need a, you know, obviously you need a guy who can really anchor the defense if you're playing against the Cavaliers. So yeah, it's a tricky thing right now. The Raptors do need another piece, I think.
Oh man, I have no more questions prepped, William Liu. That was pretty well done and efficient. We're at 13 and a half minutes. Anything else you want to really go into concerning Raptors, Wolves, anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, look, I love what the Timberwolves are doing. I don't know, it's confusing to everyone really that the Timberwolves are 6-16 at this point. But tonight, I thought it was weird how little Towns got the ball. Is that like a trend that's happened this season where Towns isn't involved in the offense as much?
Yeah, the post touches thing has been something that hashtag get Towns more post touches 2016, because he's an unbelievable player. When you look at the matchup last week against the Knicks, and I've harped on it for about a week now, he scores 26 in the first half and he doesn't even attempt a three, and a lot of those came in post-up situations. So Thibodeau's offense is less of a post-entry offense than what we saw from Flip Saunders and Sam Mitchell. It's a lot of side screen and rolls, as you saw with Wiggins and Levine being able to snake around. And it really underutilizes, not so much underutilizes Ricky Rubio, but it does sort of put him in the corner and make it so there are a lot of 4-on-5 situations. But yeah, the Towns not getting enough touches is certainly concerning. In the fourth quarter, it's definitely concerning, because by the time it comes around, his three-point attempts tend to go up in the fourth quarter. He tends to take shots early in the shot clock, and as has been well documented, it's Towns is a guy who wants to win, and he takes his game pretty seriously, and he's pretty emotional and passionate about it. And he hero ball. I don't know if you read it, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, Britt Robeson of MinPost, a publication here in Minneapolis, wrote that Towns is playing hero ball. You know, everybody in the locker room is saying how the team needs to get it together, and Towns is saying how he needs to do more, even after the 47-point performance and a loss, he's saying he needs to do more. And it's like, dude, that doesn't make any sense. But on the other side of the coin, he does deserve a lot more touches than he gets. I want to say he was averaging just over 4, it was like 4.2 post touches per game, and that in my opinion just isn't enough. So I'm glad you mentioned it is sort of baffling. The Wolves, although only like 9 or 10% of their possessions this season have come in post-up situations, they've been one of the most efficient teams in post-up situations, largely because of Andrew Wiggins as well as Karl-Anthony Towns. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, because it was strange to me, because pretty much Towns, he had the 15 points in the third quarter there where he was really involved, and he got a lot of his own offense sort of out of that in the third quarter. But otherwise, I felt like I was just like, where's Towns? I'm like basically constantly terrified of Towns, because Towns just absolutely murdered the Raptors last season. I remember he had like a 35-point game, and I think the Timberwolves beat the Raptors in that one too, where he was just like, you know, this is the rookie of the year. He's so talented. And it's just, I don't know. I guess it'll take time really with the new coach. But yeah. I thought the ball, that does feel like Andrew Wiggins and Levine had the ball a little bit too much.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Wiggins in the fourth quarter,
yeah,
there's just not, I mean, his ball handling has never been the greatest, and that's fine. He has done a little better in terms of snaking around pick and rolls and making plays, but you could see late in the game when they drive to the basket and penetrate to the hole, there was a couple situations where it's like they turn and try to pass it at the last second and there's just nothing there. Nobody knows what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Another point I've harped on too is I can't help but believe, because the team has been so bad in recent years, they have a hard time valuing possessions. It's not easy when you don't make the playoffs to value every single possession, because by December and January of last year and the year before that, it's what are we playing for? You're giving Zach LaVine reps at point guard, and you're just giving Andrew Wiggins post-up touches just to sort of expose him to the physicality of the league. And now all of a sudden you there's talk of 50 wins and playoff expectations. And do you really expect them to take every single play? Can they do it on every single possession, play as hard as they need to play? And it's just, it seems unrealistic to me. And the hype has sort of done them a disservice in that sense.
Yeah. Well, still lots of talent. I don't understand why Rubio's never holding the ball anymore. Like, he pretty much just a spot-up shooter. But anyway, the Timberwolves confuse me. I'm sure they confuse everybody at this point. They're more talented than the record suggests, obviously.
Yeah, they're a tough cover. William Liu, I'll let you go. I appreciate your time. Next time the Raptors come to town, we'll be in Minneapolis, obviously. They play twice this season, so we'll probably talk then. I appreciate you coming on, talking a little bit about the game, talking about the Toronto Raptors, and hope everything is going well with you, and good luck to you the rest of the way.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good night, man.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.